Bella D'Angelo Show, a unique voice in conservative talk radio, can now be heard irradiating stupidity, teaching critical thinking, and encouraging confidence. So forget the Mickey Mouse madness and get back to the facts with your host, Bella D'Angelo.
So the other day I was in Trader Joe's, and I got asked by this woman that's getting to know me now that I've transferred back to the oil field. She wanted to know what it was like to be working in civilian life, as she put it, and working around so many men in the radio business. Well, you know, I actually got stumped for a second because then she went on to say, you know, what's it like working here versus in the oil field? And I got stumped. I didn't even know where to begin. And like I was saying to you guys, and I was driving in, we were conferencing, talking about the show and talking about all the madness with all these, the mental disorder of the liberals. I mean, they're going to do me in. So guys, I've got a solution. Instead of blowing up your phones all day long with my rant, my complaining, my wanting to blow people up left and right, I'm going to go back to the pole. I think that's the best solution. Go back to pole dancing. What do you guys think?
I don't know about that one, Bella.
You don't even have a comeback. Come on. Here's the thing. Okay, and I wish Aaron was on because I really want to give him a hard time tonight. Because here's the thing. When you want to know the difference between oil field and, if you want to call it civilian life, civilization, whatever it is, I tried to give an analogy because, you know, I love analogies. I guess if you could say it's the difference between living in the completely out-of-touch world of the, and you know what? I don't even want to say RNC anymore because the RNC, the GOP and the Dems are all one big group. But it's the difference between running around in that country club and living in the real world. In the real world, we talk and speak how we think and who we are. I mean, when we're around those, I mean, that's what being non-politically correct. And if you can understand the night and day difference in between the oil field and being outside of the oil field. So, okay, so if you haven't listened to my show before, or, you know, you're still trying to figure out what I'm talking about tonight, what the show was built on was my days running around an oil field. And I would always turn something that was mundane into something much bigger. And that's a talent that I have. But, guys, I really got them one night. So one night, here's how the whole pole dancing started. I actually got asked out to dinner, and that is, like, newsworthy, okay? Newsworthy, especially by a nice guy. So the whole oil field knew I was going out to dinner, and they expected this very exciting, elaborate evening story to be told on the radio show because, of course, I talk about everything that I do during the day on my show. However, I'm struggling, guys. I'm struggling. I'm in Minneapolis, okay? And the you know, to find the people that know how to give me the material, besides I'm locked up in an office every day right now as I'm in my new job, and I love my job, working with some great guys. So anyways, on the show, and this was, I don't know, two some years ago, I decided to really jack with everybody. And so my co-host, Brian Lonergan, he's on with me, and he's asked me how my dinner date went, right? So I said, well, it started out pretty innocent. I said, until adult beverages were consumed, and Brian says, uh-oh. And I said, yeah, I said, well, and then I got a wild idea in my mind. I decided to bring my date to the Williston Strip Club. Now, who hasn't heard stories of, you know, the Williston strip club? I mean, for the love of God, you know, strippers from Las Vegas were flying up, making even bigger money in Williston than they were in Las Vegas. So I said, well, you know, then what I did was, you know, I threw the door open to the strip club and I said, amateurs, thanks for the warm up, but let the pro take to the pole. Well, guys, I was so convincing in getting Brian to believe that that's what I had done. You can hear his little fingers typing away on his computer. And I stopped him and I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm trying to find pictures of you. I'm Googling pictures of you at the strip club. He really believed that I had done this. Well, what it brought forward was it became a permanent spot on the show talking about this portable stripper pole that I dragged around location, location. And it got to the point where it was just hilarious. One of the other highest listener shows was when I talked about, I had gone on location one day to a rig. The company man, both company men were gone. It was release day and Coconut hadn't showed up yet. And so I washed my truck with the power washer and hung out with the guys. And by the time I went on the show that night, I talked about how I had hijacked the rig and all the hands because the company man wasn't around. I had my portable stripper pole up there. And I was rehearsing because the Roughnecks can tell you exactly how they, you know, how you should change your performance. And then I finally got bored and I made the Roughnecks get up on the pole and dance for me. I mean, I think that was only appropriate after a hard workout. I mean, I should get entertained, right? Right? Have one of you got a comment? Poor Josh is going, oh man, how do we reel her in on this one? Josh, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Or are you just laughing so hard? This is the thing, though. And, you know, Eric knows this, all the guys in the oil field, and that's why I'm still transitioning. I had so much fun in the oil field, it was criminal. And it built the radio show, and that's what built my enthusiasm to come in every night. I'm here in Minneapolis, and eventually I will make the connection to get the people to help me build the material. So when that woman asked me what it was like working in oil field versus here, she said, well, you don't look like someone that would take much harassment. And I said, actually, the guys have to worry more about harassment for me than I ever have to worry about harassment. And she said, well, do you carry a chainsaw or do you carry a big Glock? And I said, no, I just have my right hook. She was laughing so hard. But, you know, if you still trying to figure out when I reference oil field, I mean, that's where I was for 5 years. You're going to hear me repeat this a little bit because we've got new listeners every single day. But I am steadfast in my relentless pursuit to finally get this show where I want it to be, which is on radio stations across this country, because as I have said so many times, the critical part to finally getting this country to wake up is we have to get the voices out and we have to get the word out to the disenfranchised, those that don't listen, those that don't want to care. And when people criticize the millennium and say they don't understand, they don't know anything. You know, I defend you guys all the time because I push back and I say, what media outlets do you have for them to even get them to listen? I mean, and at this point, with the insanity and the madness that's going on right now with this election year, I mean, we have to, and it was so enlightening this morning when I went into the office. And my boss comes in and he says, I'm dealing with something with my daughter. He said she rides a school bus and her little friend is a little black girl. And he said, we're not racist. She's not racist. She doesn't even know the difference in skin color. But he said, she told me that this little girl, her friend, told her that her parents were telling her that when the man gets elected, he's going to kill all blacks and Hispanics. And he said, the level of fear and intimidation that is being run in this campaign, it just sickens me. And he said, I can't stand it when you run on fear and intimidation. Well, guys, I sat there. And, you know, again, I don't want to be fired for being me, because that was the one thing I never got in trouble or fired for being me in the oil field. I was allowed to be me. I was embraced for being me and strong and outspoken and direct and honest. But, you know, I'm in a new position in my job, and also I'm still letting these guys get to know me. And all I could think is the media has done such a good job of we're a soundbite society, but drilling into people what they want them to believe that Donald J. Trump is. And so I sat, and then the other guy that I worked with, he said, well, if you don't stand up and say, he said, well, when he said, oh, I don't know who David Duke is and all these other hate groups, he said, when you don't dismiss them, then you're embracing them. And he said, you know, when he went after all the Hispanics and they're all murderers and druggies and this and that. And again, I stopped him and I said, did you hear when Mr. Trump said there's good people, but there's a lot of bad coming in? I mean, people, if they're living a good life with a good job and family and they're all set up, I mean, not one of you, Josh, Eric, myself, if we have our lives, our family, our jobs, everything put together, someone says to you, you want to hop on a boat and go across and move to another country illegally and with no money, you don't do it unless you're desperate and dire or see a reason to escape. And I said, didn't you watch when Hannity was down on the border? I mean, and then I stopped myself, because the thing is when my boss said, you know, he said, well, I will tell you one thing. He said, I like the fact, Bella, you do let people talk. And I said, well, I'm not a far right wing that will lose my mind and start screaming illogical things or making you or tearing you down or hanging up on you or not letting you have your peace of mind. I like to learn from you so that I can begin to gain some trust with you so that I can engage in some conversation, because the only way that you can get somebody to listen is if you can gain their trust. And he said, well, that's what I really like about you. And I said, well, I said, that's why the other day I had to get my eyeglass prescription, and I was sitting there, started talking to the young man that was waiting on me. We started talking about politics. And he said, you've got to understand, I'm a gay liberal. He said, why would I ever stand for the Republican Party? And I said, well, I said, I can understand some parts of it. And I said, but if it comes down to November, you wouldn't truly vote for Hillary. Here was the interesting thing. He said, I can't trust her. He said, but I'm afraid of Trump. And he said, but you know who I'm really afraid of? He said, Ted Cruz. And we had a really nice exchange back and forth just listening. And you know what, guys? At the end of it, I gave him my card. He told me he would listen. And without making him feel bad or demean him or belittle him on any of his beliefs, I gained one more listener. And so when I ask people to go out about their day and talk to people, I don't mean picking a fight, throwing rocks and stones and tearing them down. I mean going out and just talking and engaging and getting people to trust you and to listen, because that is what has built the stage for what is to be one of, I mean, this isn't just an election, it's a war. We are literally in a war right now between the establishment and Donald J. Trump. All of the frauds, everything that's being exposed. You know, everybody's been screaming about what happened in Colorado. but if it wasn't exposed, we wouldn't be seeing the thievery within the delegate process. So as I always say, you may get mad and frustrated, and I mean, mad as hell, but I would rather have all of the deceit, the lying, the cheating, the thievery, the madness, let it all be exposed, because every time more and more is exposed, guys, we all know this, one more person wakes up and says, is this my country? Is this America? Where is my God? And how do we save her? Because if we don't, where else are we going to go? We are coming up to our first break. When we get into the second segment, we have Josh Gramillion, who you are my superhero, Josh. Students for Trump out of Houston, Texas. We also have his good friend, Josh McGrath. I hope I pronounced it correctly. We're going to talk about why the millennials and the rest of the lunatics are standing behind Hillary and Bernie Sanders. We have Eric Olson with us, company man, good friend, Tea Party, and much, much more coming up. So, Don, take us to our first break. We'll be right back.
If you are looking for a straightforward, conservative, good old boy who can also rant about all the madness, but seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Petilla with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small town service, and he will even save you some money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. You can get Aaron at 952-856-6074. And that again is Aaron at 952-856-6074. You don't find any better guys in a family team than Polar Builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. They are the GAF and Timberline certified Polar Builders. Upgrade your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Again, that is Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100.
We are back. Bella D'Angelo here with Josh Gramillion, John McGrath, Eric Olson. So yeah. If you all thought that I was kidding, and I know I was saying to Josh, I stumped you. I caught you off guard. But, you know, the thing about talking about this stripper pole, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. The hilarious part was Aaron was asking me to send a video. Well, I kind of messed with them a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, I'm still filming this documentary, and I do have a scene. I'll just leave this cliffhanger. I have a scene that I'm developing in the documentary, which the documentary is American Girl, American Dream, from the love of crude oil, that is, to show the good side of the oil field. And there was a certain scene in there that I wanted to, because, of course, the stripper pole was a big part of the radio show that I was going to include, but it is all in great taste. But the reason I've been filming the documentary was because so many people got it wrong about the really good people in the oil field. And, you know, I miss it tremendously. When crude goes back up, trust me, this big bird's going to be headed west back out to the oil field. But in the meantime, here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, fighting the good fight, as I've always said, who else to be sent back to where it all began, Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I used to get on with Sean Handy and Dennis Miller, paying retribution to all those liberals and the mental disorder that we're battling here to try and stop the Hillary machine. And the one thing that I always defended, like I said, was you guys. How the millennials, how do we get them waking up? Well, we've got to provide a vehicle and a media outlet for them. So when Josh and I connected, Josh now is president of Students for Trump out of Houston, Texas. And you want to join the show because I really want to grow this listenership, because you are our future. You are the ones that we are counting on, because if they win, meaning the Bernie and Hillary supporters. Can you imagine seeing a country forever lost? And I said this when I was on the Voices of Montana last Friday. If we don't win in 16, I don't know that we'll ever have another conservative in office. Josh, how are you doing tonight?
Good, thanks.
Good. Excellent. And Don, you're with us?
How are you doing?
I'm all wound up, in case you can't tell. But I want you guys to take the stage. But here's the thing. So many people believe that, you know, the Bernie followers are because of all the free stuff. Yes, that's a huge portion of it. But the other thing is the Bernie supporters are because they view Bernie as we understand Trump. He's not establishment. He's they perceive him to be one of them. And he's not Hillary. And Hillary doesn't have a lot of the young vote. But I still don't understand, if you have even one cell left in your mind thinking how you could ever possibly stand behind Hillary, but she's been around since before God, I believe. But guys, take it from here and fill us in on what they're telling you, why they're supporting. Maybe you want to start out with Hillary herself.
So, this is John McGrath. I am the Southwestern Regional Director for Students for Trump. We oversee operations from Texas all the way to California. I want to talk a little bit about Hillary and why people are my age, especially, are supporting her. Frankly, you know, a lot of people want to see a woman in the White House. Personally, I'd rather see a conservative woman in the White House, but the folks are all about social justice. They're all about the radical feminist movement that is taking over the minds of young women all over this country. I also associate the need to support a female candidate. I blame that on many universities and colleges, where you have radical, liberal, far-left professors who basically, from day one, indoctrinate students. A lot of people go to college without a very rounded worldview. Fortunately, Josh and I, our worldviews are pretty square. We know what we believe. But a lot of people go to college and don't know. And they meet these professors who they look up to, in many cases, and they get indoctrinated.
The professors
that
pretty much will brainwash them, you know, into getting them into believe,
mm-hmm.
you know, the more liberal views that they have, and that most professors have at, you know, different universities all over the United States.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's really difficult to see people who I grew up with who were conservative 2 years, 3 years after they come out of college. They're supporting Bernie Sanders, or they're supporting Hillary Clinton, or they're, you know, trying to get registered to be in the Socialist Party of America. It's a totally different environment on a college campus than the real world. And this is still a conservative nation, but the pockets of liberalism at these colleges are extremely influential. And, you know, I blame the Black Lives Matter movement and the radical leftist movement solely on professors and college universities, period. They need to be, in my opinion, they need to be looked at in terms of if they're getting state revenue or anything like that, to be regulated and things like that, to make sure that they aren't brainwashing students. Because it's sad. It really
is. They should be held accountable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then when you look at it, too, that, you know, all those groups like MoveOn.org, the Black Lives Matter, all those radical left
mm-hmm.
movements, I mean, they're the ones that are going into these rallies and, you know, disrupting and, you know, holding signs up and using this horrible language and spitting on the American flag and stomping on it. And, you know, and they blame the Trump supporters. You know, they're saying that they're the ones that are violent, when really these protesters at these events that are, you know, with these radical movements are just, you know, they're being paid to be there, and half the time, you know, they don't even know why they're protesting.
Yeah, and George Soros.
Yeah, I
find a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys, I got a question.
Video.
Hang on one real quick. I got a question. So somebody, you're in conversation with them, and they're a diehard Hillary supporter. Do you have a prepared, you know, analogy to give them to get them to stop and think? Or what do you ask them, what has she accomplished? Is there something that you say to them to try and get them engaged with you to at least start thinking about their decision?
Yeah, I mean, I tell people, you know, she's corrupt. I mean, she's been in, you know, politics her whole life and just seeing, you know, with Benghazi and her email scandal and just, you know, everything like that. And another thing, too, is that she supports, you know, full-on abortions. And, you know, when it comes down to it, that's murder. And
okay, let me ask you real quick, Josh. I want to take this point by point. Because when you say to somebody, she's corrupt and Benghazi, the first thing when you say she's corrupt, what I hear is, that's politics. And then when you mention Benghazi, they know nothing about it. So I think you've heard me give this analogy when I hear somebody, you know, all the time when I hear somebody that says to me, well, yeah, I'm going to vote for Hillary. And then I ask them and I stop them. Because if you can make it real basic and hit home, you'll get them to think a little bit more. And so then I ask them if they know anybody that has served in the military. Yes, they do. Just about everybody does or has had a family member. Then I ask them, you know, what if they were under siege by terrorists and the call was made out to the Secretary of State and to the President, and their answer wasn't called for 13 hours, and for 13 hours they're under siege, and there's only several of them that are fighting against hundreds of terrorists for 13 hours, and the call isn't answered. Your brother or cousin or friend is murdered, and now you're at the funeral, and now Hillary is standing next to you, and she says, well, it's because of a video that started a riot, but I'll find out who did this, and I'll get back to you. And then not only does she not get back to you, but now she's blaming you for getting the story wrong. That simple analogy explains something so fundamental that it will get these people to stop and think a little bit, because if you say corruption and liar and criminal, all those things, basically you can put a blanket label on every single politician that we've ever had. And it's rightfully so called that. But I just wonder if you could make a simple analogy like that to get them to slow down and think a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, just with the, you know, I bring up the whole Benghazi thing and how, you know, they were asking, you know, to send help because they knew that something was about to come up with these terrorists. And, you know, she didn't send help. They, you know, obviously got the call and they just, you know, they refused to and just didn't want to. And, you know, John has a little bit more details about that. That's an idea. So I'll let him talk about that, if John, if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, she's just so crazy. You know, she's just so dirty. The whole Clinton machine has rampaged across this country for years with the Clinton Foundation, the... You know, I just saw an article today, and the Clinton Foundation pays men 38% more than women, even though that's hypocrisy. That's a whole other thing. But, you know, she enabled Bill Clinton to philander around the White House for 8 years just so she could be first lady. She let it happen when he was governor of Arkansas, and she let it happen when he was president. And the fact that, you know, she lets her husband get away with everything like that is sickening to me, because it shows that she doesn't care about that relationship. She cares about the power that comes with being first lady, with her husband being president. Now she wanted to be president. There's so much dirt on Hillary Clinton now. I don't see how she can run. She has so many allies in the Democrat Party.
Here's the thing. She has to be protected under this administration, because otherwise they'll have to indict Barry as well. But let me ask you something. So when these colleagues that you're talking to are going on and on about their love fest for the water buffalo Hillary, I mean, can you stop them and give them an analogy? Because the thing is, here's the important thing. Everybody that's listening is when you get into the conversation with these people, they are so loyal to their candidate. They are so loyal. First of all, Clinton has been around forever. She has not only name recognition, they see her as a strong, successful, experienced politician merely because that fat red panic suit was in the White House already. And they see Slick Willie as the new coming that's going to back. They think that he's actually going to probably be running it, which the country wasn't running that bad economically. The problem is we're in dire straits. We are at a catastrophic point in this country. And if people don't understand the real critical part, again, and then we got to go into another quick break, is that we are at the point where if we don't win with the establishment, and the establishment is very clear now, if everybody in the political government, everybody, all of them, the only one that isn't is Trump. I don't know why people are giving a skate to Cruz, because he is just, you know, and I actually used to back him. And the scary thing is all that back Cruz are just as arrogant, and there's just an arrogance about them, and they're just like the Ron Paul followers. If their dog's not in the fight, they absolutely will not vote, which secures and gives the vote to Hillary. And I got to take a breath and go into our next break. When we get back, we've got plenty more to cover to get people to wake up and pay attention, because we've got to get it right in 16 November. Don, take it from here.
I'm here to introduce Trust Vets. If you could choose between doing business with an American military veteran or a complete stranger, who would you choose? If you're like me, you would choose the veteran. What if every time you needed to hire a professional for work around your home or office, you could choose to do business with veterans? Friends, the time has come. Visit the online directory of veterans at trustvets.com to find painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, and more. Whether you need your windows washed, your lawn mowed, or a handyman for a project, you can find verified American military veterans who would be proud to do the work for you. Many people want better for our veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions. You can help before hiring any local service. Visit trustvets.com. Come and join us in doing business with American military veterans. Trust Vets. They've definitely earned it.
And we are back. Josh Chameleon, John McGrath, Eric Olson. Trying to get into the mindset of those supporting Hillary and Bernie. You know, I was talking to the company man a couple of weeks ago. He was out in Watford City, North Dakota, which I can't even imagine what it's like out there. I mean, we were over 200 and some drilling rigs a year and a half ago. I think we're down to 20-something. Haven't been back since I left in August. But he made this point, and he said, the thing that scares me the most about this election is that if we don't get Trump in November, if he doesn't get if we don't elect him in November, we have a whole generation of the Bernie Hillary supporters. Now, I can't even imagine. I've been doing some soul searching, thinking, what am I going to do if Hillary gets in? For 4 years, I'm going to sit and scream about Hillary. I've been screaming for almost 8 years. I mean, we've got to get people to wake up and pay attention. And I say this all the time, though. I believe more people are waking up. You can't pay attention to the polls when they're talking about Trump being so far behind, can't win the general election. But I know we want to talk about the primaries that are coming up, but real quick, if you could just summarize, I mean, because again, I believe that, you know, of course the schools, I mean, colleges are all progressive liberalism, but, and the Bernie supporters, it's all because he appears to be an outsider. The good news for, let me ask you this. if all of the supporters of Bernie are as faithful and loyal as the supporters for Trump, what do you guys, John and Josh, think when Hillary gets the ticket, where will the Sanders supporters go? I don't necessarily believe that they will follow like traditionally after their after the anointed one. What do you guys think?
Well, Bernie's drawing such a young crowd. You know, most of his supporters, you know, won't even be able to vote. So, and that's why, you know, Hillary's so far ahead of him, and you know the delegate count. But yeah, I mean, there's no way he'll get the Democratic nomination. That's just, you know, especially with the
he won't get the nomination. You know, the DNC behind Hillary. Those are voting age. His supporters that are voting age. Do you believe? Mm-hmm. You know, have they said? Well, do you ask them? Well, do you understand? You're in support of someone that you can't vote for. What will you do then?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really, you know, brought that up to people. I don't know if they'll support Hillary or not. I mean, I think they would, because most of the, you know, Bernie supporters, they don't like Trump. They don't like Cruz. They don't like any of the, you know, the Republicans or conservatives. You know, they're just, all they know is liberal, and that's, you know, all they'll...
Ask them that question, Josh. Get them thinking and ask them, because I would love to hear next week when we're on the show... Hear some feedback.
Like, we'll
John,
about
what
that
do you think? Yeah, John, what do you think?
I've seen that polls. I'm a very I rely a lot on polling and the math. And what we have found is close to a third of Bernie Sanders supporters will not vote if Hillary is the nominee. So that sets up a couple of scenarios. One, Bernie will run third party, probably under the Green Party ticket, and get a pretty substantial amount of votes. Not enough to change the election, of course, but enough to make a difference, and could lead Trump to win several states if he's a nominee. Could have him win several states that haven't really been put in the Republican column since Reagan in 1984. That would be the more progressive states. You know, Minnesota could be Iowa. If Trump is a nominee, I think he will win Wisconsin and Michigan, no problem. But the states that are traditionally progressive could flip over, because Bernie could run third party under the Green Party ticket, which is still a very strong possibility, seeing that he is, just like Trump is, definitely blasting the delegate process. Or Bernie could just sit out, and Hillary does not get as many votes as the Democrats think she will, and will also make her struggle in several key states. So it's a lose-lose situation for Hillary if the Bernie Sanders supporters jump ship, in my opinion.
Well, from my conversations, I have not heard that they will then go to Hillary. So this, you know, as I was listening to Handy, you know, did we ever think that this election would be as across the board, as revealing? I mean, even my good friend here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I'm going to tell this little personal story, because, I've been friends with Wilson since I met him 8 years ago. When I met him, he did not pay attention to politics that much. When I left and went to the oil field, and, I mean, God bless him for all the calls that he took, because, you know, ranged the gamut of listening to the end of times, be thrown into FEMA trailers, to the martial law, where are we going to have an election? I mean, Eric knows all the madness that I listened to. And Wilson would just listen and... You know, I knew that he was shaking his head going, where is she and the people that she's talking to? But since coming back, he said to me, he said, this is the most amazing election I've ever watched. And he is actually glued to Fox far more than I am. Of course, I'm wrapped up in my new job, and I really love the company that I'm working for, Great Northern Granite, great bunch of guys. And it's not that I'm any less paying attention. It's just I've been so inundated for so long, And I kind of have to take a step back a little bit so I can get back engaged when I get on this show, because sometimes it just gets a little bit too maddening if you get caught up too much with listening to the back and forth and back and forth. But he said, I'd never thought that I would see an election like this. And it even opened his eyes. And the day when I heard on Fox, and Fox itself said, it's us against them. And in my conversation today when I was out and about, so many people saying, if we don't get Trump in, how many people are burning their Republican registration? And as sad as it is, I've heard so many people say they will never vote again. And what a complete, I mean, that's the death of America. That's the death of America.
Yeah. That'd be a sad day. But it's what the rhinos are setting up. They all want to be one party, one world, all that stuff that would just destroy this country. And that's why we fight and Tea Party and do all those radio shows we do.
Well, when you have hope in your hand, you have to spread it around. And as I've reminded people, so many people that have told me that this thing is over, there's no hope, he can't win, they will tell you everything under the sun. And I say, but we're not to November yet, and we're not even until when we know that Donald J. Trump will have the nomination or not. So, guys, let's talk about, we've got some really important primaries coming up. When Cruz said, when he slammed New Yorkers for their New York liberal values, I thought that was going to come back to bite him in the ass maybe one more time. Was I not right?
I think it is, isn't it?
It is, because Trump's numbers just keep going up.
When the riots took place, he went to go and give his speech and the riots took place, and then I think he finally packed his little thievery bag and ran out before he got trampled out of the state. Good riddance, Cruz. So what do we think is going to happen in New York? I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? Unless does Priebus get a hold of the voting machine and blow it up so votes are counted? What do you say, guys?
I think Trump's going to get all the delegates there. You know, with the polls that I've seen, he's up at 60%, some at 76%. I mean, he's just, you know, and Cruz is in third place in all of them now, you know, where he should be. And, yeah, Trump's, I have a good feeling, you know, I know for a fact that he is going to win all of the delegates, if not majority of them, because his numbers are so high and he just has, people have so much respect for him there.
Yeah, Bella, my family is from New York. Not cool. Very disappointed in my senator for saying something like that. I think after the events that have happened this week, Trump is basically camping out in New York. He's going other places, but he's camping out in New York. He will do exceptionally well in New York. I don't think any of us think that Trump can easily get 55-60% of the statewide vote and will probably win every single district. Kasich will do better in the city, but Trump will absolutely wipe the board over the entire state. Kasich will probably do a little bit better in New York City, but that'll be about it. Trump will absolutely run away with the delegates in New York. And I think that's between all of us, that's a major consensus, something we can all agree on.
Yes.
Yeah, and Bella, another thing, too, with Trump is that if you watched, he was on Anderson Cooper last night, and I don't know if you all saw the town hall that he was on. But, I mean, if you sit down and watch that and you see his entire family, you know, you see Trump, you see Melania, Ivanka, Donald Jr., and Eric, and Tiffany, and, you know, they're just, I mean, they're such a unified family, and, you know, every single one of them has worked so hard their entire lives, and they just, you know, they all have incredible families and support one another and, you know, just have worked hard their entire lives. And that, you know, I don't see how people can, you know, bash Trump left and right and, you know, just say all these horrible things about him when you truly see him sit down with his family like that and you see who he truly is and just how much he cares about this country. You know, he said the country's been so good to him and, you know, he wants to give, you know, that same hard work, you know, back back to the country because it's been so good to him, you know, over his entire life.
Well, I ask people, you know, today I had this conversation. I was out visiting with a customer, and the one was a Trump supporter. The other one said that he was too wild. He said such hateful things. He thought that he was doing it for grandstanding. And I stop everybody. You know, I mean, I'm going to use, for me personally, my Facebook page, which is Bella D'Angelo with the plague, I have people all the time that come onto my Facebook page and start picking an argument with me, and they know nothing about me. They half the time don't even know that I have a radio show. They're trying to school me on my beliefs. They're telling me, you know, as if I know nothing and as if this is my first rodeo, you know, and they have perceptions, especially, I suppose, if they go and see one of my pictures or something or listen to my, well, tonight I sound kind of hoarse because I've been kind of yelling all day. But, you know, people have preconceived notions, and then what the media adds to it, and I don't know how, but, you know, they're doing the same thing that allowed Barry to get in office. Are you vetting? Are you doing your research? Are you looking into the man, his family, his connections, things that he's actually said, things that can be documented? And I stop them all the time and I say, you mean to tell me a man that has amassed the wealth and the empire that he has, it's actually a downgrade in salary, a downgrade in housing. He doesn't need all this coverage. He's, you know, he's doing this, but look at his family and his values. And I do, and I know, and I believe that he's doing this because he worries about those grandbabies that he has, and he truly loves this country. Because anybody that understands and realizes what America represents, what America was founded on, the opportunity, anybody that has succeeded does not want to lose what we have here. Because as me personally thought, and the oil field knows this, there has been many times I thought about bailing, running to Siberia. Yeah, I was going to go work in the oil field in Siberia. I was going to go to Belize. I was going to go to a lot of places in the days that I didn't think we were going to stop the killery machine. But when you think about the other countries, they are nothing like America. And this is coming from one girl who did lose it all. That's why I went to the oil field. That's why I went and started over. That's why I found my country, my people, where I fell in love with being not politically correct, speaking my strong right-wing views, not looked upon or frowned upon for being as direct, honest, and sincere as I possibly can be to try and fight. But I would come in every single night in my truck and get on my cell phone with an iPad running this show in hopes to be able to be a part of this movement, this war that we are in. It's just that this year, as I explained earlier, I finally realized what a lot of people were still trying to kind of hammer into my head. I alluded to this last week on the show. I lost a good friend when I was arguing that whoever got the GOP nomination, we had to back. Well, I'm not of that mindset anymore. And this was a conversation that was on my Facebook page. I said, well, if you don't back whoever the GOP nominates, that you're giving it to Hillary. We're running out of time. I guess we probably got about one more minute. But you know what? If that means I tear up my Republican registration and Hillary gets it, we have to send a message. We're not going to take it anymore. Not from these lies, lying, thievery, killing criminals that are killing this country and the American dream and the American spirit. And Don, you got to give me time. Are we a minute out? We probably run out.
Music comes in.
I know. Well, I'm going to, but the thing is we're in a fight and it's a war and we're winning and we have to keep spreading the enthusiasm, spreading the optimism, because each day as it is exposed to this criminal far-reaching machine that we are up against, we also have a leader. We finally have a leader that is bringing a lot of hope for taking this country back and making it great again. Josh, John, Eric, it's been a great show tonight. Josh, tell everybody where to find you and John and Students for Trump.
Yeah, thank for you millennials that get your thing going and get this country turned around. Appreciate
it. Students can go to www.students4trump.com, and, you know, they can sign up there to become a member, and someone will get in contact with them. And, you know, we'll get them involved wherever they are in the United States.
God bless you, Josh and John, for all that you're doing. Eric, tell people where they can
find you.
Yeah, I'm up here. I'm on Facebook under Eric Olson. I'm on Twitter under Eric Shrugged. And that's kind of how you find me now. I do a lot of email up here in Montana. I got 6,400 email members with the Tea Party, but just watch us on Facebook and Twitter primarily.
Well, thank you, Eric. You've been a great friend. I probably have basically family as well since we met almost 5 years ago out in the oil field. We got just under a minute left, so I'm going to take you here from here, guys. We've had a great show tonight. And everybody, go out and make a difference, because we can make a difference. I'm one person that proves one person can. So get out. Walk, talk, think differently. Be Bella for a day. And if it takes putting on a pink bra, a white T-shirt, and pink lip gloss, and talking to everybody, at least you'll get some attention. All right, guys, I'm out of here. God bless. God bless America. And ciao for now.